Jazz critic Kevin Whitehead has a review of some recordings of historic Duke Ellington concerts from the 1940s and a bone to pick with the management at the venue where the concerts were played. Here's a bit of Ellington's Dance No. 1 from the Liberian Suite, recorded at Carnegie Hall in 1947.
The folks at New York's Carnegie Hall sent out a press release a few weeks ago in connection with the 100th anniversary of the hall. It included a 3-page list of great events in Carnegie history. As a jazz fan, I was amazed by what they didn't list, like the 1938 From Spirituals to Swing concert organized by John Hammond, one of the most famous concerts of the century. Even more scandalous, they left out the annual concerts Duke Ellington performed there from 1943 to 1948, concerts at which he premiered ambitious new works like the Liberian Suite, or the first and best of them, Black, Brown, and Beige. As if to reproach the folks at Carnegie for their oversight, 5 of Ellington's Carnegie Hall shows are now out in box sets of 2 CDs each. 4 of the concerts have been available on vinyl from Prestige Records, but the 1948 concert has just been issued for the first time on the VJC label. I don't think the 48 program is quite as exciting as some of the earlier shows, but that box is attractive because it includes the complete concert. The other sets are at least slightly abridged, and because the sound quality is better. Here's Johnny Hodges playing Billy Strayhorn's Brown Betty from 1948. Ellington didn't neglect his pop hits at Carnegie Hall, but he treated these appearances as real concerts, highlighting the formal, or if you like, classical aspects of his blues writing. That's one reason his music sounds like no other jazz composer's. At his best, he could stand comparison with any American composer in any field. At Carnegie, he featured a few of the masterpieces from a particularly rich period around 1940. They included Boy Meets Horn, his concerto for cornetist Rex Stewart. Stewart would finger the valves, quote-unquote, wrong to play the cracks between the notes. Rex Stewart, 1943. That's serious cornet playing, but it's funny stuff. Ellington often kept a slight ironic distance from the values of jazz or classical music. That's another reason his stuff sounds like no one else's. You can hear that sly streak whenever trumpeter Ray Nance plays his appealing violin. Here he is on Duke's deliberately puffed-up arrangement of the folk blues Frankie and Johnny. Thank you. Ellington's sardonic humor may be one reason the cultural establishment has been slow to recognize his greatness. In 1963, the Pulitzer Prize Music Jury recommended Ellington for a special award, but the Pulitzer Advisory Board said no. Duke shrugged it off with a bitter joke. "Fate doesn't want me to be too famous, too young," he said. I'd like to think things had changed in the 28 years since, but as Ellington's absence from that Carnegie Hall press release suggests, some folks who should know better haven't caught on yet.
Kevin Whitehead is a frequent contributor to Downbeat and Cadence. He reviewed recordings of Duke Ellington's Carnegie Hall concerts on the Prestige and VJC labels.